Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all brothers with me, to the churches in Galatia. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ, and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of the Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you have accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Am I now trying to win the approval of man or God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Paul, called by God, I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ.
The gospel isn't human in origin. It came through a revelation of Jesus Christ, and only through a revelation of Jesus Christ. There's a counterfeit gospel that's being promoted out there. It kind of runs with what's happening in our society sometimes. When we get money, luckily I have money on me right now, otherwise I'd be asking if you have any money. But there's counterfeit money out there. And with technology today being so great, although it doesn't always function well, but money can be copied and made to look so real. So, you know, it caught me off guard a few years when I handed somebody the $5 bill and in a store to pay for something, and she went like this, thinking, oh. You probably heard about a few years ago how a $5 bill was bleached out and then printed as a $100 bill, and it passed, and people were using a $5 bill, and that's a pretty good profit there. But what about this counterfeit gospel? It seems kind of less important or less of a problem than counterfeit money, right? What would be a counterfeit gospel? Or a gospel as Paul identifies here. We need to go back a little bit into kind of what's going on in this scripture. What's going on in Galatia? Paul somehow wound up in Galatia, perhaps because he was injured or he had something going on in his life that he just arrived there for some reason, not necessarily intentionally, but there he was in the midst of Galatia, which was really more of a community of Gentiles, non-Jews. And as Paul always did after his conversion, any situation, any opportunity, wherever he was an opportunity for him to preach that gospel, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, what if we all had that kind of sense about the gospel? Wouldn't our world be a different place? You know, if wherever we found ourselves, we first and foremost, we were looking for an opportunity to share what God has done for us in our life. Wow, wouldn't our life be different? Wouldn't the world be different if we had that kind of ambition, that kind of commitment. That's the commitment that Paul had, even when he was in prison, even when he was injured and close to losing his life because he was beaten for his faith. That was an opportunity. He witnessed, he shared the gospel with those who watched over him and made sure that he stayed in prison. He reached out to them and witnessed to them. So Paul did just that in Galatia. He began to talk to these folks, these Gentiles, about who Jesus was. And they listened intently. And they were converted. And they were baptized. And Paul stayed with them for a while, and when he thought that they were running on their own and doing well, it was time for him to leave and go to another opportunity. And so he did. And after a while, I'm not sure how much time passed, but after a while he received word that those Galatian followers were being taught that they needed, that they were lacking something in their faith. They were lacking something to be children of God. And the thing that they were lacking was this. They needed to be circumcised in order to become a child of God. And this was upsetting to Paul because he understood that it was not some physical thing that would render one a child of God, but rather it was faith. And it was not believing and trusting in the law as the saving power of God, but rather in the grace that was lived out and bore out and shared through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so Paul sat down and he began to write this letter to the Christians of Galatia. And first of all, he shares his concern that they have begun to back up a little bit from where they were, believing and trusting in the grace of God through Jesus Christ. It's like what our children were sharing with us this morning in the children's time. You know those things you run over with when you're going into a rental car place, you know, returning your car. Don't back up once you get over those, because they go down when you drive over them, but if you back up, you're in trouble. Your tires are going to be flat, and guess what? That's a rental car. You're going to be paying for those tires. Paul says, I'm surprised, I'm shocked that you all who experience the grace of God and have been living your life faithfully because of that grace, you're beginning to back up and think that there's something else that you need to do. But then, Paul, if he's upset with the Christians of Galatia, he is just furious with those who are promoting the wrong gospel. So much is he upset that he says, he says, cursed be those who promote an alternative gospel. I know I've said this before, but it's such of a great story that I just need to say it again. A very close friend of mine back in Michigan, who was a new Christian in a church that I was serving, really giving his life to Christ. He had the most difficult boss. And he came to me one day and he said, you know, Kim, is it possible, you know, maybe it's too much to ask, but are you able to make a curse? Because my boss is just, I cannot stand to work for this guy anymore. And of course I reminded him, no, I don't do curses. And And I also reminded him that he needed to begin to learn how to love his boss and how to pray for this man who was persecuting him, and figure out a way, as Paul reminds us, to be a witness to those who rub us the wrong way. I was driving into church this morning, and I was sitting at approaching a light that was beginning to turn red. And I was in a hurry. And so I was already upset that this light was turning red on me. And then I saw a gentleman over here who was walking across. This is this new walk, relatively new walkway up here on Glendale Avenue, where it's just for pedestrians to walk across, and the light's blinking. And so I stop, and then there's this gentleman that starts his way across the street. And before he even starts walking, he begins to shout and wave his arms, and he's really out there, but he's moving about this slow. Those of you who can see me. And his arms are going like this, and he's talking, and he's looking at me, and he's talking to me. And the first thought that came to my head into my mind was, this guy needs Jesus. And that's the wrong thought, because he may have Jesus. Jesus may be living in his life. He may just have some sort of illness that makes him walk like that and walk slow and talk to nobody in particular. You see, that's the second danger that Paul was concerned about. The Galatians were backtracking, and the leaders who were preaching the wrong gospel. We don't go out and preach a counterfeit gospel. At least, usually we don't. We don't do that intentionally, but you know what? When we begin to look at someone and we see them on the surface, and there's something about them that just doesn't quite gel with us. We think there's something wrong with them. And we begin to think that they need something that we have, rather than maybe they have something that we need, that remind us of the grace of God. The Jewish Christians, the Jewish followers of Jesus, were a little confused, and they were reminding these Galatian Christian Gentiles that they were lacking something. They needed something else in order to be children of God. When in fact, the Galatians, in believing in the grace of God through Jesus Christ, had something they could share with the Jewish Christians. That all of us, all people, we are recipients of God's grace, not because of what we do, not because of our birthright, but because God's love is so great and so wonderful and so inviting and encompasses all the world. You see, there's only one gospel. Only one. And that gospel is that God so loved the world that he came to dwell among us in his Son, Jesus Christ. And because of that strength of love that Jesus had, that God has for us all, the love of God was delivered to all the world. So today, may we remember, first off, that we are children of God, that we are saved by God's grace, and secondly, that God loves all people, and that all are welcome and invited in. This morning at the 8 o'clock service, we were reminded again in that parable that Jesus tells about the tax collector and the Pharisee. They're praying. They're praying to God, and the Pharisee is saying, God, thank you that I'm not like all these other people. Like those people out there that are confused, the people out there that are drug addicts, the people out there that are thieves. And oh, by the way, that tax collector over there too. Thank God that I'm not like him. And Jesus says the tax collector's prayer was, oh God, help me. Forgive me. For I have lived a terrible life. I have taken advantage of people. I have broken promises. And Jesus says, the tax collector whose prayer is asking God to help him be a better person and forgive him for his past mistakes, he went home justified. The gospel, the true gospel, reminds us that we are saved not by what we have done, but by the grace of God. May that grace find its way into our life, every statement we make, every action we make, every choice we make. May that grace fill us every day, every moment of our lives. We won't be sorry. And we will be rich, maybe not with money, but we'll be rich in grace and peace and joy. Amen.